And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about corn muffins. And we did just eat corn muffins, and, yes. And we didn't save any for you.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
Wow, those were really good. Matthew, I'm looking forward to hearing about what you made, but I grew up with Jiffy corn muffins.
Would you say that that's part of your memory lane?
I would say that's part of my memory lane, and I have really
fond... We're just jumping right in today.
Yeah, no, we're so professional. I have really fond memories for like associated with Jiffy corn muffin mix.
I have mixed feelings.
I haven't had it in ages. It's probably one of those things that wouldn't be as good now.
Should we just like get right into the Jiffy mix part?
Well, okay. Sure, yeah.
Because like my memory lane is just like we've been making corn muffins for a long time, and I initially put mostly to go with chili, and then Watson and I were talking about it, and we were like, can we think of a time when we made corn muffins not to go with chili for any other reason? And we could not think of a time we had done that.
That's a really interesting point. It's hard for me to think of when I would make corn muffins.
Yeah, I mean, like, they are good with other things, and we'll get to that, but, like, I just think of them as, like, the muffin that goes with chili.
Okay, fair enough. Like, more than cornbread?
No, cornbread is good, too, but we will more often make corn muffins or corn biscuits just because, like, it's fun. Like, cornbread we will make, like, as a meal, like a Southern-style, like, not-sweet cornbread and, like, you know, stuff it with some bacon and cheddar and eat that as a meal with, like, a vegetable, like a green side. But like if I'm gonna have like some form of cornbread with chili, like I like a muffin or a biscuit more than like a chunk of cornbread, just because it gets more like has more exposed surface area to brown.
That's
I think
a very good
and
point.
It's fun to have your own muffin.
That's true. Well, and the thing
there's really like nothing more fun than having your own muffin.
Oh, I can't think of anything right. more fun than that. Woo! Oh, wow. I feel fired up just thinking about how fun it is to have my own muffin.
Okay, so Jiffy corn muffin mix. Let's go there.
Yeah.
It is like as far as boxed products go, it is good. To me, like compared to homemade, it's a little too sweet and kind of one-dimensional. Also, one time the CEO of Jiffy corn muffin was mean to me on in an email.
Wow. Did you poke the bear?
I guess I did. So this is something I hadn't thought about in quite a while. So many years ago, I wrote a book called Hungry Monkey. I wanted to like use a recipe from the back of the Jiffy corn muffin mix box, maybe like a cornbread recipe. I don't even remember what it was or why I needed to like borrow a back of the box recipe. But there was a lot of back and forth between like my publisher and the company about like the specific what rights they were giving for the recipe. And then like out of the blue, I got an email from Howdy Holmes Sr. Howdy Holmes Sr.
Okay.
Who was a famous race car driver who then became the CEO of his family's milling company, which makes Jiffy corn muffin mix. An email to me basically like telling me to fuck off. He didn't actually say fuck off, but it was not like a formal or polite email. It was just like, we're sick of dealing with your bullshit. You do not have permission to use our recipe. Go away.
Wow.
I believe the company is now
Howdy.
That the CEO is now Howdy Holmes II. So probably we should probably like try and reconcile.
We probably should. You probably should. I mean, I'm fine. I'm on fine terms.
Yeah,
with
you didn't.
Howdy
you weren't dragged into this.
So my dad, I remember him proudly introducing me to Jiffy corn muffin mix. Like I remember him coming home and being like, "I have something that you're going to really like."
It is a thing a kid would definitely like and could like easily make themselves.
I have definitely not had it as an adult or not in a... I feel like there was an ancient episode of this show in which we talked about it.
I'm sure that's true. And I'm sure I told the same story.
Anyway...
I don't have any new stories.
I was... So prior to coming to tape with you today, I was having brunch with...
Yeah, I didn't offer you or for you any chili because you had come from brunch. But if you want some canned chili...
No, it's fine. I was having brunch and my friend Judy... Well, my friends were asking about what we were about to tape. And I told them. And Judy said...
And you told them we cannot reveal that information. It's privileged.
That's right. And then they stopped talking. and I mm-hmm. ruined all the fun.
Yeah, then no, you were excused from brunch.
Judy was telling me that her Aunt Miriam, who is like a true Southern lady who lives in South Carolina, that Miriam uses Jiffy corn muffin sure. mix. And her sort of secret thing, which I think is probably done by a lot of people, is she adds an entire can of creamed corn per box.
Sure. No, she's the only one. She invented
that. She's the only one who does that. But it is her thing, and she is, you know, she's a Southern lady who would know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Jiffy corn muffin mix. And, like, I'm glad that the CEO is mean to me. I'm
Because you're a sadist.
No,
you're a masochist. Whoops. Yes.
Let's okay. see. Like, other people, I feel like I've had a lot of good experiences, like, tangling with, like, corporations on Twitter, and I never really got into that. So this was like, before that.
Yeah. You really tried to take the man down in the man
really, yeah, I really tried to take the muffin man down. Have you seen the muffin man?
I have. Do you know the muffin man?
I think he lives on... some lane.
Drury Lane. Did you know that there was a Drury Lane, like, right near my house growing up?
Yeah, did you, like, sneak out and go
try, I would go meet, and the, go muffin meet the muffin man there. Anyway, Matthew, what's on your memory lane?
Yeah, just making corn muffins to go with chili. That's
so you
it.
Didn't grow up with Jiffy corn muffin mix?
I don't particularly remember corn muffins from my childhood. They may have been around. But I don't remember us always having a box of Jiffy corn muffin mix, but we may have. I should have done more research into my own life.
You should have.
Like, yeah, I tried. I got on ChatGPT and I said, like, did I eat corn muffins when I was a kid? And it knew the answer. It was very upsetting.
You know, you mentioned a minute ago that Jiffy mix is, like, easy enough for a kid to yeah. use. And now that you mention it, I do think that was one of the first things I ever baked
sure.
by myself. And I felt so accomplished. And then the other thing is, then you've got this, like, whole pan full of muffins that you can mow down.
Yeah, you can absolutely mow muffins.
Yep. Mow muffins, mow muffins.
Mow muffins. Some say mow muffins, mow problems, but I disagree.
Okay. So, like, what's a corn muffin? Why are we talking about it?
Okay, we're talking about it because I suggested it because we were having trouble coming up with a topic.
Could it be that we've done 671 episodes?
Oh, my God. So, a corn muffin, it's a kind of a sweet and savory muffin made with cornmeal, wheat flour, and very often add-ins like cheese, corn kernels, bacon, scallion, herbs, chilies, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of the above.
Yeah.
So, in other words, it is northern-style cornbread or, like... I think on the cornbread episode, like we talked about, like, the idea of, like, northern style and southern style cornbread, but really what we were calling northern style cornbread is also very popular in the South. It's less true that southern style cornbread is popular in the North.
Southern style cornbread being sweeter and cakier?
Being less sweet and less cakey.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, I really have got that backwards.
So yeah, wow. So southern style cornbread I think of as the kind that you make in, like, a cast iron skillet that's, like, rubbed with lard, and often it's white cornmeal mm-hmm. and little or no sugar.
Okay.
Then, like, northern style cornmeal is the kind that's a mix of corn. Oh, and often no wheat flour also in southern style cornbread.
Okay.
Northern style is, like, when you think of, like, a cornbread, like a yellow cornbread that would be, like, you know, you'd put honey on it or, like, you know, would be served with chili, that sort of thing. But obviously that's popular in the South also.
Sure.
So a corn muffin is a northern style cornbread baked in a muffin tin.
Okay. So how do you know what cornmeal to use? Because, for instance, so the most widely available cornmeal where we live is probably, like, Bob's Red Mill.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's either, like, coarse or fine, but there's also sometimes medium. I don't know which to use. It's
yeah,
so confusing.
Yeah, I usually use the Bob's Red Mill medium.
Okay.
And because, so a while back, do you have any recollection of this? Like, I said that Bob's Red Mill cornmeal was not my favorite on the show, and someone at Bob's Red Mill heard this and sent us each a big box of cornmeal.
This must have been a very long time
ago. It was probably
ago.
10 years ago or more.
Okay.
But, like, since then, like, whatever, it worked. Like, their intervention worked because now that's what I usually buy and I do like it. And I've just, like learned to appreciate the fact that they're kind of two different axes of, no, there's more than two different axes of cornmeal because you can get white or yellow cornmeal. For corn muffins, yellow cornmeal. Okay. But then the other axes are like, is it whole grain or like degerminated corn? So like the box that you get in the baking aisle, like Albers, that's degerminated cornmeal, and it's not going to be as flavorful as whole grain cornmeal, but not bad.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we've all eaten lots of.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. And then the question is it steel ground or stone ground?
And I'm guessing that steel ground is going to be more even?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So like Arrowhead Mills is an example of a really like high quality whole grain steel ground cornmeal.
Okay.
And I think it's really good. Bob's Red Mill is a stone ground cornmeal. And what that means is, yeah, you get like even in like the medium, you get a range of like very small particles to fairly large crunchy particles.
Okay.
And so that's what you're going to get in the finished product. It's going to have some texture to it.
Okay.
And so if that's not what you're looking for, use a steel ground cornmeal like the Albers or the Arrowhead Mills. But probably like if you kind of know that's what you're getting into, like a stone ground cornmeal, pretty satisfying.
So a stone ground cornmeal is almost always going to have the germ attached,
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. Like if they're going to go ahead and stone grind it, like it's going to be a whole grain type of deal.
And does it go bad noticeably faster than degerminated? Because
that's a really good question.
You know, more stuff to go bad.
I store it
fat
in the freezer, and okay, the bags aren't that big, so I haven't had a problem.
Got it.
Like the bags maybe like 20 ounces or something.
So for what we just ate, you used the Bob's Red Mill medium.
Yep.
And what was the recipe?
So the recipe was from Cooks Illustrated Baking Illustrated, which was their yellow book.
Where is it on your shelf here? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yep. So this was from 2004, I think.
Okay.
And like we've made this recipe enough that the it kind of falls open to the corn muffin page. Let's see if we can make it fall up open. Molly's testing my hypothesis here. It's near the beginning. Look at that.
Oh, boom. There we go.
All right. Took a few tries.
This is what you made today?
That's what I made today. Yeah. Okay. So it is a super simple recipe. It's made with melted butter, sour cream and milk, a moderate amount of sugar, and a 2-to-1 mix of wheat flour to cornmeal.
Got it.
Now, if I were a less lazy person, I would have also made their more recent corn muffins, Cooks Illustrated's more recent corn muffins recipe, because it is quite different. So are you ready? Are you ready for me to blow your mind with how different this corn muffin recipe is?
I think I already read it on the agenda.
Yeah. So the more recent one is like, you know, what if we really focused on like the corn flavor and not so sweet? And it has like three things that are different. Like it has very little sugar compared to this one, which has like a cup of sugar or like 3/4 of a cup of sugar for 12 muffins. Mm-hmm. You like hydrate the cornmeal with water in the microwave, so it makes sort of a sponge kind of a deal. I think this is supposed to make it moister. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's fun to do.
Did you notice a difference?
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
And it's a 2-to-1 ratio of cornmeal to flour. So like a much higher cornmeal ratio than these. I have made that recipe at least twice. Like I've pulled it up and like, oh, this sounds really good. This sounds like my kind of thing. And I definitely didn't dislike it. I don't remember it being that different from this recipe.
Okay.
It seems like it would be super different, and we certainly ate them all. But like, you know, I've never felt like that's the one I want to go back to. They both seem fine.
Okay, fair enough. So, how often do you think you make these?
Anytime we have chili, and that's not necessarily just like, you know, chili con carne. It could be like a white chicken chili. It could be a pork chili verde. I made these the other day to go with a pork chili verde that was so good. Like I usually like crumble up the corn muffins and really like get them in there.
Hang on. I'm looking this up again. How did you know to use medium cornmeal? Like, it doesn't say that in the recipe,
so
does
I think,
it?
Well, first of all, like, it's Cooks Illustrated, so the head note is, like, 8,000 words long. And I think somewhere in there, I think they specifically recommend, like, steel ground whole grain, because they do.
They say stone ground whole grain cornmeal, and then they call for fine stone ground yellow cornmeal.
Oh, okay. No, they do say stone ground. Okay. So, I don't know, because, like, it didn't seem that different. And it's good, right?
It's delicious. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Yep.
What about like corn sticks? Do you remember when those were a thing?
Yes. Like I've had these, but I've never owned the corn stick pan. Have you?
No, but I think my mom might have had one.
Sure.
I remember a period of time. Do you remember when blue corn was the thing?
Yes.
And I remember having like blue corn sticks.
And now
and thinking
blue corn
this was incredible.
Is like a thing, like you can get like, they'll have like one brand of blue corn chips, like in the chip aisle, the supermarket.
Garden of Eaten.
Right. Or if you're at the, like at the co-op, there'll be like three brands of blue corn chips because it's healthier because it's blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do like blue. I like the Red Hot Blues by Garden of Eaten.
Those are really
Eaten.
Good. Yeah.
They taste like hippies, but they're really tasty. Would you ever make a corn stick? Do you care?
If I had the pan, like, I do like the idea because, like, it's like a cast iron pan that bakes corn muffins in the shape of, like, corn on the cob.
That's right.
And so they're long, so you get even more surface area, and you can dip them. That seems appealing.
But they're also not as – if you're somebody who likes – so one thing that I like about the muffins that you made today is they're nicely domed.
They are nicely domed.
And they have a really nice amount of, like, soft inner crumb to this crispy crust that's on the outside. And I think that a corn stick is maybe for people who prefer the crispy crust over the soft crumb of
that's
the inside.
That's true, but I still want a little corn stick.
Okay, fine. I'm sure you can buy one on that giant site that begins with an A.
Yeah, I mean, or probably I can get a free one from like Buy Nothing. Or yeah.
There you go.
That raises an important point, and this is a really important point. When we were just eating those corn muffins, we ate them sort of unadorned, and like, actually, no, this raises two important points. All right, we're getting up to like, how many points did Martin Luther have when he like nailed a thing on a door? like 50? Like 12?
You know, I only know about the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so when Martin Luther nailed the Ten Commandments...
He nailed it. Like he stuck the landing.
One of them is literally like, thou shalt not nail thy neighbor's wife. And yet he did. So what? I don't even know.
I think we just like, lost so like far off 18 track. Listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So two things. First of all, like we talked about add-ins. And generally when I make corn muffins, I don't use any add-ins. But if I were like eating them like just as a snack rather than as an accompaniment to chili, like I really do like the idea of having some corn kernels or some chilies or some scallions or something in there.
I like the idea of maybe
cheese,
cheddar and green chilies.
Sounds great. The other thing is like they are not as moist as like a blueberry muffin, and they shouldn't be because like part of their role is they're supposed to like sop things up. I think
that said, the corn muffins that you just served me, like it was quite moist.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be dry, but if you think of like a blueberry muffin texture, you could kind of like squeeze it.
That's right,
like a piece of Wonder Bread, or like your enemy's skull. Like this one, if you squeezed it, it would like crumble into pieces like your enemy's skull.
So you mentioned corn biscuits. Mm-hmm. When would you make a corn biscuit and how is it different from a corn muffin?
Okay, so in another Cook's Illustrated cookbook.
I mean, so obviously it's probably going to have you rub the butter in, right?
So it's a cream biscuit. I mean, okay. Not that you can't make like a rubbity rubbity.
Rubbity rubbity. Matthew makes rubbity rubbity.
Whenever I can, yeah. And like it's so this wife of the show Lori like zeroed in on this recipe in a different Cook's Illustrated cookbook. Please send help. We're being held hostage by Christopher Kimball. From the quick recipe from.
Wait, I've talked on the show about the time
you
met
Christopher
Kimball.
But please tell it again.
I sat in his office at his desk. I'm having a hard time like remembering what it was like. I feel like maybe it was that he didn't make eye contact the whole time. Is that what the story was?
But you were staring at his bow tie the whole time anyway?
Yeah, no. And I mean, I think both of us were like, what is she doing here?
What were you doing there?
I think that somebody who was a reader of my blog invited me to come visit her at work. And she worked for Cook's Illustrated. And then she said to her boss, like, hey, you should meet this lady.
This was like the time that I like went to the office at Gourmet Magazine. It was pretty awkward, even though I did write for them. But like, I didn't know what I was doing, and no one knew who I was.
Did I tell? I've told you about when I applied for an unpaid internship at Sever Magazine during my senior year of college.
Probably, but tell me again.
They gave me like a fact checking exercise, not a fact checking exercise, a research exercise, and I had X amount of time and like this small selection of books in which to research. And I realized then and there that like I didn't want to do what I was going to have to do. And it was unpaid and so on and so forth. But I've often thought like, I don't know, they must have thought I was a total idiot because I think I just sort of handed back in my piece of paper and was like, thank you for having me.
I once like applied for an online job doing Japanese to English translation. And like, I really was not qualified for it, but like I got like they had me do like a translation exercise, like translating a news article or something, and I got feedback that essentially amounted to like, you did like a weirdly good job with this considering the fact that you also made some absolute like bonehead obvious mistakes.
Wow, you were like, thank you.
like I got the complicated part right, but then like, you know, translated red as blue or something.
I think what I had to do was I was supposed to research like summer festivals in New England or something like that.
Okay.
For, you know, some segment that was like about travel in New England. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so, so not interested in doing this kind of work.
Like the cider festival, the autumn leaves festival.
It was the summer festival, the blueberry festival, the lobster festival. Yeah. I don't know. I was 21. I was.
The clam festival.
Whatever.
Chowder Fest 2003.
Mm-hmm. Lobster Roll Fest.
Yep. So the quick recipe, also from 2003, the same time they held the final Chowder Fest, after you ruined it by failing to include it in your article. Cornmeal biscuits are super simple cream biscuit. They're very like light and crispy. They have a different texture than a corn muffin. They are faster to make, and so like they're like a scone. You pat out like a thick circle of dough, cut it into wedges, and bake the wedges. And they're really good.
Yeah. So
are they technically a muffin? No. A muffin isn't triangular.
So you mentioned that you make corn muffins to eat with chili.
I did, yeah. I mentioned it.
When else repeatedly would you do it? I mean, I guess if I were making some sort of like, I don't know. God, I'm realizing I never make corn muffins or cornbread, like ever.
Okay, like, I mean, any soup or stew, North American, European style soup or stew is going to be good with corn muffins, probably. Like, even if it's like a beef bourguignon with corn muffins, that would be delicious.
That's true. Or like chowder, any kind of chowder, yeah. Chowder Fest.
If you find yourself at Chowder Fest, they're going to have corn muffins.
That's right. What about barbecue?
Yeah. Classic,
true, you know, corn flavor.
The
so
thing
good
is,
with.
When I Googled like, what do you serve corn muffins with? What it took me to was, what do you serve corn bread with? Because it's the same thing.
Sure. Matthew, is there anything else that we need to cover about corn muffins?
Well, a lot of people swear by a recipe that is attributed to Kenny Rogers Roasters.
What's
restaurant?
Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Kenny Rogers Roasters is a minor chicken chain that I think still exists.
Is it owned by Kenny Rogers?
It was like founded by Kenny Rogers Hedge Fund. it was associated with Kenny Rogers, yeah.
Oh, man. I was a big Kenny Rogers fan as a child.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Gambler.
Yeah. That was the song that taught me so many things. And I imagine you can guess what some of those things are.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, you got to know when to hold them.
Yeah.
And when to fold them.
Yep.
When to walk away. What's the other one?
When to run.
There you go. Yeah. You never count. Ash always gets this wrong. You never count your blessings when you're sitting at the table. Don't count your blessings when you're sitting at the table.
I feel like that's the version like your like religious parents would teach you. No, but you would count your blessings.
That's true. So, but it'd be like showing off, like counting your money. Never do that at the table either.
They'll be diamond for counting when the dealing's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that is such a great song. Mm-hmm. Like, what an unusual form of a chorus for a song that works so well.
I'm going to listen to it on the drive home.
Yeah.
Matthew, we have some spilled mail.
We do indeed. This is from listener Wendy, who writes, I love the show so much. And that's it. That's the whole email. Okay. Oh, no. The next email is from the guy from Jiffy Corn Muffins. Listener Wendy writes, I love the show so much. I wanted to respond to a couple of things from your tonic water episode. First, Matthew, I totally relate to your feelings of being shy or nervous about ordering a cocktail. I don't drink and never have, but I do really enjoy drinking something that is tasty and fun. Often my friends will be ordering cocktails, and I wish I could have a non-alcoholic version, but I always worry that the bartender will not be willing to make a non-alcoholic version for me or will accidentally leave the alcohol in and I'll unwittingly wind up drunk.
Oh, that would be such a dirty thing to do.
Also, since I'm not that familiar with cocktail ingredients, I don't know which things will actually still make a drink if you order them zero proof. Yeah, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. I've learned that a virgin mojito is usually a safe bet. I really appreciate when restaurants have a zero proof section on the menu so I can have options beyond a Coke or lemonade. Also, Molly, I empathize with you on meat prep. It is not only that I'm squeamish about touching meat, although that's part of it, I'm squeamish about cross-contamination. I hate figuring out how to get a chicken onto my baking sheet and salt it without also touching the salt cellar with chicken goo hands.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for making the show for all these years. You feel like old friends, and I look forward to every episode. Best, Lily Wendy, and that's Lily meaning listener I'd like to yum.
I forgot about that. Okay, number one.
Yeah.
Well, we're recording this episode actually on New Year's Day.
Yeah. But so I'm doing January.
I'm doing a dry January.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I love the taste of alcohol. So I am already, you know, I've got the fridge stocked with all kinds of things that I'm going to be drinking. I've procured some tonic water because I really like drinking tonic water. I got Fever Tree.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've got some Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beer. If you're not skeeved out by the color red, I really like, you know, San Bitter. Have you seen San Bitter?
No.
It's like, it's a product made by San Pellegrino. It comes in these adorable little glass bottles. It's hard to find. De Laurenti has it.
All right.
It's bright red, like Campari.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to take like a bottle of San Bitter and a can of Spindrift grapefruit and mix them together. It truly is like a wonderful non-alcoholic cocktail. So
yeah, I do feel like this situation is improving.
I think so too.
For like getting interesting non-alcoholic drinks out, like improving a lot.
There are, I mean, I know so many people who have either given up drinking or cut back on drinking in the past couple years. And I can't believe the number of options I see on menus all the time. I mean, it really is changing, at least where you and I live. It's very common.
Yeah, I imagine like there are regions where it's more difficult. But
sure.
Yeah. But like, yeah, like we talked about this on the non-alcoholic beer episode. Like, I feel hopeful that we've like turned the corner to where we no longer just assume that drinking alcohol is something everyone does.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, as far as the chicken goo. I mean, chicken goo, it is real. That stuff's real.
I wanted to comment on that because like something, one of my favorite phrases to use in the kitchen is proprietary blend. And I use that phrase whenever I'm like mixing up any sort of spice blend, even if I'm just following exactly what the recipe told me to do. But I will also use it when I just like put some salt into a little Pyrex bowl or some like a mix of salt and pepper for exactly this reason. So I can reach in there with contaminated hands and not worry about it.
Yeah.
I recommend this highly.
Yeah, that's really smart. Very smart. Well, thank you, Wendy. Delightful to hear from you. Matthew, I understand you have a now but wow.
I do. This is a mystery novel that came out fairly recently and was a gift to me from wife of the show Lori for Christmas. And it's called Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Q. Sutanto. Jesse Sutanto is the author of the A is for Aunties series, which is a very popular series that I think is going to be turned into a Netflix series.
Is it cozy mystery?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And so this is a cozy mystery also, and I really enjoyed it. It is set in San Francisco Chinatown. There is some incredible Chinese food in the book that like actually sort of figures in the plot. The main character, Vera Wang, is the owner of Vera Wang's world-famous tea house. That is not a typo. She called it Vera Wang's because she thought it would bring in more customers if they thought it was associated with Vera Wang.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And one night, a dead body shows up in the middle of the shop, and the cops say it's an accidental death, but Vera thinks that it's murder and decides to solve the case by befriending all of the possible suspects.
I love it.
And it's delightful.
So. Wonderful. So that's Vera Wang's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers.
Yeah.
By Jesse Q. Sutanto. Fantastic. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Molly has a newsletter called I've Got a Feeling that's available at mollyweisenberg.substack.com.
Matthew has two bands that he's a part of, Early to the Airport and Twilight Diners. You can find both of them on Bandcamp, Spotify, everywhere music is found.
And you can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And you can chat with other Spilled Milk listeners on Reddit at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
Yeah, maybe start a thread about, like, what do you serve corn muffins with? And, like, there are going to be 71 replies. They're all just going to say chili. If someone actually did that, that would make me so happy, like with the chili replies.
I can't wait until it happens. Make it happen, everybody.
Until next time.
Make it happen, everybody.
One of my favorite podcasts, Jordan Jesse Go, they come up with a slogan for the year, for every new year. And I think ours is going to be make it happen, everybody.
That's right. whatever needs to happen, make it happen.
Make it happen. I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
You didn't realize when you got up this morning that you would be faced with the most difficult challenge of your life.